11 o'clock hour, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick hanging out. Nick Kieser behind the glass as well. We say hello now to Joel Corey, CBS Sports, joining us. Joel, how you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. So a big day for Russell Wilson as he gets a five-year contract extension worth $245 million, $165 million of that is guaranteed. As he enters his 34-year-old season, what did you make of the contract?
One, I'm not that surprised that he got a deal done because his agent, Mark Rogers, was spotted at Broncos training camp right when the sale was approved. So that kind of put the deal on my radar screen. I thought that he may have had the leverage to get a fully guaranteed contract, which he didn't, because the new ownership group led by Rob Walton has the deepest pockets in the NFL. Walton's net worth is estimated to be $60 billion. Plus, the Broncos gave up two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and three players to get him. But if it's $165 million fully guaranteed at signing and not just $165 million in total guarantees, then that's a pretty good compromise, because next to Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed contract, Kyler Murray is second with $103.3 million fully guaranteed at signing. So if that's $165 fully guaranteed at signing, that does move the bar in a significant way.
So what do you think this does? Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Lamar Jackson because he's the next one to get a big deal, and he's probably going to end up with maybe the biggest deal. So how does this affect that, if at all?
Well, if he's adamant about a fully guaranteed contract, this does not help him. This is just more ammunition for Steve Bisciotti, the Ravens owner, to go that the Deshaun Watson deal is an outlier, aberration, anomaly, and I'm not giving you a fully guaranteed contract. And you got to look at Deshaun Watson's situation in this context. He was basically, to me, a quasi-free agent. The Texans were getting rid of him. You had multiple teams who were willing to trade for him. The Falcons and Saints were the last two contenders. The Browns had been eliminated, and the Browns just started doing whatever they had to do to try to get him to reconsider them. That's how you get to his contract, despite the personal conduct policy suspension. So far, nobody else has been able to get the fully guaranteed contract, and if Lamar is dead set on one, he may have to start playing the franchise tag game.
Joel Corey is with us. So go a little further with that, Joel, because the other thing I hear about this whole thing, and the last time you were on, we were asking about this, is, you know, does he have to turn up the dial a little bit and sort of threaten to, I guess the new term they're saying is hold in?
Well, you don't see guys put an ultimatum on it. He gave him a deadline by the first game of the regular season. We need a deal. What you typically don't see is an ultimatum of, if I don't get a contract done, then I'm not playing. I can't recall anyone doing that in the last 25 years. I do remember a case a long time ago. Sterling Sharp did that to the Packers, where he told them like 2 days before the regular season, they'd been negotiating, this thing's not done, I'm out. Now, if you walk out, they can give you a five-day letter. And if you don't return within 5 days, your season's over. Obviously, the Ravens wouldn't do that because they need Lamar Jackson. They're 0-4 down the stretch without him. But I doubt he goes to that extreme and would probably just cut off negotiations and play out the year, and then the Ravens would have to decide whether to go non-exclusive or exclusive franchise tag.
The other thing that everybody is it just blows their mind, the money that the quarterbacks are getting. Lamar's next, but then you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Justin Herbert, those two in particular. With Russell Wilson sort of passing the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes with the guaranteed money here, the sky's got to be the limit for those next two guys.
Yeah, and overall dollars and average per year, but the fully guaranteed contract thing, I don't think Joe Burrow has a prayer of getting a fully guaranteed contract. I know the Bengals just sold naming rights to the stadium, and that was probably to generate cash flow for him. That's one of the it's a mom-and-pop operation, family-run business, so they don't have the deep pockets the other owners do, so they can't afford to stick all the money in escrow for future guarantees you would under NFL funding rules. Plus, they don't even do base salary guarantees for anybody. So Burrow would have to first get him to change the precedent where we're going to guarantee base salary on a veteran contract before even getting to a fully guaranteed contract. And the Spanos family doesn't have deep pockets like some of the other owners do either. So Justin Herbert getting a fully guaranteed contract, I think that's a stretch. They're both eligible for contract extensions once the 2022 regular season ends.
We're talking to Joel Corey of CBS Sports. Now, one thing that obviously we pay attention to here is the contract of Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill. The Titans could hypothetically get out of it after this year. They drafted Malik Willis in the third round. That's something that they're certainly monitoring. But if you're representing Tannehill, you know all these things. What if he has a good year? How do you go about his contract situation with some years left on it, but knowing that the Titans could cut bait after this year?
Well, if he has a good year and the Titans have a successful season, then I'm approaching the team for a contract extension. And if they're unwilling to give me one, if I have my client's approval, it would be then, why don't you trade him to someone who will, since you obviously, you don't want to pay me for the future, you have Malik Willis waiting in the wings. I've always thought the window for the Titans was going to be 2023 because Tannehill and Derrick Henry's contracts expired at the same time, so I thought that was really going to be the championship window, because I've never thought and still don't think that Derrick Henry would have the same value now or when he signed his contract as after his contract expired, the type of mileage that they're going to put on him.
Joel, as we let you go, that leads us into the question we're sort of asking today is what you're saying is true, because I think that's a really good point. The window is they've lined it up with Tannehill and Henry's contracts, but then, of course, they made the daring move of trading A.J. Brown. So given that the window was this year and maybe next year, does it still surprise you in retrospect that they did what they did with A.J. Brown? Because if you look at the predictions around the league, people aren't really looking at this Titans team. You know, doesn't mean they're right, but most people are not predicting them to be in a window to win this year.
Well, it's a two-team race in the AFC South, that it's either the Titans or the Colts are going to win the division. The Jaguars will be improved, but I don't think they're quite there yet. Depends on how big of a leap Trevor Lawrence takes. But the receiver market exploded in a way I've never seen any other market do, ever. So if you're thinking we don't want to pay A.J. Brown $20 million per year and the market kept going up, there's going to be a tipping point eventually. And you see that in a lot of these cases that there's not a high-priced quarterback with some of these guys who are signing deals, the 49ers with Debo. There's no high-priced quarterback. DK Metcalf, their quarterback for the future will probably be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I think they're going to be that bad. Dallas gave away Amari Cooper for next to nothing before the market went haywire, thinking $20 million per year was too much. In hindsight, that's a relative bargain compared to where the market has moved. And the Chiefs decided, well, we have this high-priced Patrick Mahomes contract. We're not going to pay Tyreek Hill, so they moved on.
Joel, real quick, are you surprised that that there's been no movement with the Titans and Jeffrey Simmons on his contract extension, or do you think that now at this point they're just going to go through the season and go from there?
I've always thought the timing was next year. Typically, you see on average three first-round picks get new contracts after 3 years. So far, Kyler Murray is the only one. In 2018, a great draft class, 2014 draft class of Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Zach Martin. Nobody got done. Tyler Lewan got done heading into his option year. I always thought that was the timing for Jeffrey Simmons, 2023.
All right. Great stuff as always, Joel. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Joel Corey, CBS Sports former agent now, their salary cap expert. Always enjoy the visits with him, and a proud USN alum as well.
Yes, University School of Nashville. He's got his own podcast, too, where he gets more into detail on salary cap things, and I'm sure he'll be breaking down that Russell Wilson contract.
Yeah, no doubt. So a lot of interesting stuff there to kind of break down with the news going on, but news that hit right as we were going on the air, Josh Gordon signing with the Titans practice squad. Is he a fit for this team? We'll discuss that a little bit more. Coming up next, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.